Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today I have two guests, longtime and favorite guest of the show, Father Gerald Horan. And with us today is also Katie Dawson, who works with us in evangelization. And Katie's title is Director of Parish Faith Formation. Before we get going, I'd like to throw it over to you, Father, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer.
I would be very pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Lord our God, you sent your followers to go and make disciples of all nations. We embrace that challenge today, and we are both excited and zealous for the work of evangelization, reaching out, inviting others to discipleship, and to find both fulfillment and greater happiness through membership in the community of believers. We pray your blessing upon all in our diocese. We pray your blessing upon those particularly involved in the work of evangelization, and even more, those who through their efforts will hear your word. All of this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And again, with me today is Father Gerald Horan. And Father Horan is in charge of so many different things in the diocese here. And with us today is Katie. And Katie Dawson is in charge of parish faith formation. And today we're going to be talking about the very broad subject of evangelization and a little bit more about what the diocese is doing with that topic. But before we get into what the diocese is doing, Father and Katie, talk a little bit about what is our modern understanding of evangelization.
Well, we've spoken about evangelization on a couple of our previous programs, and so we've begun to till the soil, as it were, a little bit. But evangelization really is taking the gospel out, sharing it with others, and inviting them to participate in the life of our believing community. So easily people just jump through the hoops of being religious, but don't really take that message to heart. And I think evangelization, or at least one of the key types of evangelization that we in our Catholic community need so desperately, is help in adult faith development, to hear the word and to apply it to the reality of my life. You know, for a lot of people, their faith development stops at second grade. And if we're lucky, they come back for confirmation preparation. And so we get a second crack at them when they're 14. But if your understanding of your faith is the same as it was when you were 7 or even 15, that's probably not adequate for the adult challenges and relationships and difficulties you're going to encounter when you go out into the world.
So if I'm hearing you, Father, I'm hearing really two different, related, but different strands to evangelization. One is that traditional bringing the gospel to people who've not been introduced to it. But what you just talked about now is kind of that re-evangelization or new evangelization for people who've already been exposed to the gospel, perhaps as children, perhaps going through Catholic school, or perhaps going through parish formation in expectation of the sacrament of confirmation, and that have not built much on their faith since then.
Well, and for a long time, the church has been talking about a new evangelization, and that language kind of started with Pope John Paul II. And one of the driving concerns in framing that conversation on his part was what he saw as the large number of people called themselves Catholic, but maybe didn't really have a context or an understanding or a lived experience of what that word means. And so, at least in John Paul's vision, and that's been followed up in the papacy of Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, the work of evangelization, yes, we do have to have this invitation to the world and this outward reach, but in order to do that effectively, our work might need to start at home, that we might need to really start with the existing Catholic faith community and make sure that we're sort of on the same page.
I know, for example, studies have come out showing that we have, in many locations, less than 25% of people who identify as Catholic who are regular churchgoers.
Mm.
It's very difficult to feed your faith if you're not involved somehow at the parish level, which, Katie, that would be kind of your bailiwick.
Right.
You're involved with parish faith formation. What do you see happening with evangelization at the parish level here in the Diocese of Orange?
Well, evangelization is about delivering the good news, and I'm afraid that the participation level that we're seeing suggests that people don't really perceive the gospel as good news in their life. They perceive it as an obligation that they have shrugged off, that they're not showing up because this has not been good news in their life. Either they haven't had it presented to them as such, or they've missed the message. So when we're talking about the new evangelization or evangelization in parishes, our first task is to focus on the fact that we have very good news to deliver to the culture, to a culture full of fear and anxiety and confusion and isolation. There's a lot of bad news in our culture, and we have the antidote, if you will, the source of purpose and meaning and the whole reason for our existence.
So let's delve a little bit into the possible reasons why people are not seeing their Catholicism as inspiring of good news. Is it because it's just become a part of their culture? Has it been watered down somehow? Is it somehow no longer presenting itself as centering? Is it that they've lost their fire for Christ? What do you see going on at the parish level?
Well, I might just answer yes.
Kind of all of the above, really. And as Katie said, you know, some people maybe just never heard it as good news. Pope Francis warns us, you know, not to think of the work of bringing new membership into the church as throwing the book at them or, you know, inviting them in and saying, here are the rules and regulations, but spiritual accompanying. And that's really what we need to do. We need to let people know that some of the questions and apprehensions or the uncertainties that they bring are normal and good, and we need to be ready to work through those with them. And so evangelization could be classes and things that they learn. It could be going out into the neighborhood. It could be preaching on the street corner, or it could be adult education or activity or faith-sharing groups at the parish level that invite people to go a little deeper.
Yeah, and it could be a conversation with a neighbor, something that takes place over a long period of time where you gradually build a relationship with someone and invite them to come back to church or to come to church.
We've talked in the past about the college level, and I believe it's Hub that is involved with building relationships one at a time with people who are basically college student-aged peers with other college students to gradually bring them one at a time into an understanding of who Christ is in their lives. So we're not talking about going door to door the way the caricature has been of some of our Protestant brothers and sisters. We're talking about mostly, primarily, building relationships that are enhanced, inspired by Christ.
Yes. Yes, that would be true. We have to build bridges of trust with people. We have to be normal and fully human and then engage them in a true friendship. And then we can share with them what the good news has meant in our life and what it might mean in theirs and help them look at that.
And Father, you brought up a very important point, though. For a number of Catholics, they may be going to church, but are they really living out their embrace of faith with an enthusiasm, a joy of Christ in them? if you don't have your own oxygen mask on first, so to speak, this flight attendant will say you can't put it on your child next to you.
That's right.
And so we have to have our own spiritual oxygen mask on in order for us to then bring it to those around us.
And sometimes the entrance of strangers into our space might be a little threatening. I remember back at Christmas time, we talked about, you know, what to do with all these extra people who only come for Mass at Christmas and Easter. Well, you know, if my main concern in being in church is to guard the space on the end of the pew, then I'm sort of missing the point that there's a phrase, disciples make disciples. And so every opportunity or interaction, whether it's in a church or the street corner or the shopping store, those are opportunities to invite other people into the discipleship conversation.
But at the heart of that is the individual person's encounter with Christ. And I think that's the starting point for any evangelizing effort. The individual has to have encountered Christ, and then they'll want to share.
When we come back from our break, I want to get into that because we're talking about good news. And the good news is the Diocese of Orange is involved deeply in evangelization with some things that have been happening that are very interesting. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Katie Dawson, Director of Parish Faith Formation, and Father Gerald Horan, and we're talking today about evangelization. And we talked a little in the last segment about the nature of evangelization, some of the problems that we've had as a faith in inspiring people to reach out, even if it's just one person at a time, relationally. I'd like to know kind of the lay of the land in the diocese. What are we doing in order to try to address evangelization as a diocese as a whole?
But, you know, Katie and I work in the same office within the Pastoral Center, the Office for Faith Formation, and it's comprised of five departments. And really, in those five departments, we try to reach out to all of the key age groups. And I think the number one initiative from our office is really trying to support people in parish ministry to make sure that we are offering quality programming at every level of the faith journey or every stage of experience, you know, and that's a huge task. We've got job security because we're not going to ever be done with that work, but starting with even preschool through kindergarten, grade school, Catholic school and parish faith formation programs. We've got specialized programs for youth ministers and young adults. We've spoken about both of those here before. And then adult faith development initiatives. And so really we've got a wide span of programming. And I think the number one thing that we're doing every day to strengthen the evangelical outreach is to make sure that those programs are going well, that our ministers and our people are aware of the best practices and best trends and latest curriculum.
All right, I have two scenarios then. If you have, number one, a parent with adult children who have been, they've had all their sacraments, they're pretty lukewarm though in their faith now that they're out on their own, they've just finished college. What would the parish offer someone like that who is routinely concerned? We have this all the time, routinely concerned about how do I help strengthen my children? I've been doing all that the church has told me to do along the way. They're not anti-Catholic, but they're not all that on fire. What can I do? What would the diocese suggest is available at the parish level for someone like that?
Well, Armando Cervantes in youth and young adult ministry has made some significant strides in developing opportunities for young adults in the diocese, and both social groupings, gatherings for things like Theology on Tap or Thirsty for More.
Now, what is Theology on Tap or Thirsty for More? What's that about?
So that's typically a gathering that involves a little bit of beer, maybe.
Beer. Okay, well, and, this is already good. Jesus came eating and drinking. We're good.
And a conversation in a bar or a pub or some venue that's not real churchy, but a gathering of young adults to talk with someone on a theological question. Sometimes it's a priest, other times it's a well-educated layperson, to look at topics of the day that might be addressed with a theological perspective.
Yeah, another group that I'm starting to work with a little bit is called Young Catholic Professionals, and they have maybe 150, 200 members. It's kind of a growing network in the country. I think they started in Texas, but now they've got chapters in about 20 different locations in the United States. And they're a very organized group, but they've got a group here in Orange County that they have a monthly executive speaker series. Somebody comes and gives a talk on a religious or not so religious topic, but it always includes a time of prayer and a catechetical session led by a priest or a seminarian and a good social time. And so I'd say, I'm very impressed with what they're doing. If anybody wants contact information on that group, they can call right in to us and we'll be able to link them.
One of the things that we see in the millennial generation is that they're a little, their perspective is divided. They really want connection, but they don't necessarily trust institutions.
Well, that is a hard one. How do you crack that?
So,
because the Catholic Church is the institution of institutions, and yet... Yeah, wow.
Right. They want to spend time with others. They want to be in authentic community. And their priorities are often not materialistic or pleasure-seeking. They really want authenticity and deep friendship, but they don't always have a place to find that.
So that would be what a parent might shove their child toward. What about for the parent who wants to be present to their adult children? What would you say is available for them? Would you suggest increased faith formation? What else would you do for this older parent now who's gone through this transition and wants to help their children?
Well, it's interesting. I've been asked to address exactly that question in a couple of our parishes this past year. Adults and parents and grandparents asking the question, what can I do about my young adult children who are no longer practicing the faith? And the first thing that I propose is that parent or grandparent be sure that they are nurturing their own faith and that they have something of interest to ask the young adult. And I think usually questions, not challenging questions, but just provocative questions, maybe about a movie or a book or a news event that asks some question of meaning or the deeper things in life, and treats that young adult like an adult, not like a child.
You used the word authentic before, and I hear that coming through your answer, that there's this connection that needs to be either reestablished or perhaps for the first time established, that authentically asks those deeper meaning questions of our children.
Well, I think we humans have a unfortunate tendency to default to the rules and regulations, and especially parents and grandparents tend to say to their young adult who's not attending church, you should go to church, end of sentence, instead of saying, you know, you used to go to church, and I thought that you had a relationship with Jesus. What has changed? Tell me what you're thinking, and then be quiet and listen. I think a lot of times parents and grandparents, they either talk at the young adult or they don't raise the question at all.
And then I go to the second scenario, which is that young adult who has had the provocative question asked either by mom or by a friend, and they're wondering again, perhaps wondering for the first time since they were 15, what does God have for me? What would you suggest for them again in the Diocese of Orange at the parish level, since that's where they're going to normally start turning to, is their parish priest and their parish community?
Well, I think the first thing that they're going to need is a group of friends who are on the same journey that they are in, and they're going to need to be very purposeful about finding those friends. So they can, first of all, go to their parish and see what's offered there, although not every parish has what they will need. So then they need to be, but that's not a problem for millennials because they're very mobile. So
then, parish boundaries don't matter for most of us.
And looking into an organization like Young Catholic Professionals, or there are other opportunities that are described on the diocesan website under Youth and Young Adult Ministry. So they can find a place where their faith will be nurtured. And then, of course, we have endless digital media options these days with podcasts and videos that they can learn more about their faith.
And I think Katie's right. The tremendous power of a faith support group or sharing group where they can put their questions on the table, where they can hear the wisdom of peers, other people who are searching, or maybe people who aren't even engaged. The scenarios you mentioned aren't so uncommon. We've mentioned here before that, you know, while Catholics remain the largest Christian denomination, the second largest denomination out there are the ex-Catholics. And so a lot of people, for whatever reason, maybe they just grow tired, maybe they grow disillusioned or disappointed, but they, for some reason, they wander from the faith community and that experience. And so to find rootedness and a more meaningful personal understanding of it in a group where they can speak freely, that's kind of one of the first steps.
One of the things that I've noted as a convert, now a convert from many years ago, but as a convert, is that I ran into really multiple kinds, but I could divide into two types of Catholics, especially early on. Those that were going because this was just the thing that they did, and they have children, and so they're going to take their children through this as well, and it's what you do as a Catholic. You go.
It's their identity.
And a group, generally much smaller, but often out there and vocal, who are on fire for the Lord. And they're often a minority, but they're often a very vocal minority. That's the group that I, of course, gravitated toward. And they seem to be present in different proportions and different amounts, but they seem to be present in just about every parish around. And it seems to me that we need to be cultivating that. When we come back, I want to ask about some of the more recent programs that have gotten underway and some of the things you've been working on very recently in the realm of evangelization. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. We're coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California at Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Father Gerald Horan and Katie Dawson, and we're talking about evangelization in the Diocese of Orange. And we've talked a little bit about some of the problems with evangelization. We've talked a little bit about how we can embrace a little more evangelization in our own lives, or perhaps facilitate a little in the lives of our children. I want to ask a little more generally, what's been going on in your offices? What's been going on as the diocese engages evangelization?
Well, I think over the past several years, we've had a conversation developing about how to best address this question of evangelization in the diocese. We've had several important authors and speakers come to us and address gatherings of lay people and the priest study days. Sherry Waddell, who wrote Forming Intentional Disciples, Father Michael White, who wrote a very important book called Rebuilt. And we've kind of had this conversation developing about how do we respond to the challenge that we face in contemporary postmodern culture with declining religious participation. The landscape has changed. A lot of our presumptions about what it means to be a Catholic in the American culture have changed. 50, maybe 100 years ago, we could just expect that if your family was Catholic, the children would be Catholic, the grandchildren would be Catholic. And that's just not something we can presume anymore. We need to be much more purposeful, much more intentional about handing on the faith.
It seems to me that we've almost been too nice. Nice is the wrong term. We've almost backed up too much on what it is we have. Catholics are not in the business of telling people that somehow their faith is less. But we should be in the business of saying, we've got so much to give. Well, just wait till you hear it. And yet, I don't always hear anything come after that.
Well, that's back to that question of, is the gospel good news in our lives? And is it a source of joy and peace and contentment? Or is it just one more thing on our to-do list? Get to Sunday Mass, get there a few minutes late, leave a few minutes early, and snooze through the sermon. But check off the Mass box.
The Sunday obligation is done.
Right. And pretty much relating to going to church on Sunday as that obligation, as fire insurance. Just in case God cares, I showed up at Mass, but I did the minimum. And going to Mass is so that we can participate in heaven meeting earth, so that we can be present at this incredible event of the Eucharist, where Christ's sacrifice is made present to us again. And a lot of Catholics are oblivious to that, which then points to this need for the new evangelization, a reproposal of our basic message.
So within the diocese, I'm sure that there's always committees and commissions that do lots of different things. But in this case, I know that you've been involved with some things that have been happening recently that have a lot of hope. What's been going on recently, Father?
Well, our conversation, I think it actually started in our own weekly meeting when we get together to check in and talk about what's next and what are we doing and how are our initiatives coordinating. And we formulated the notion of maybe what we need is an evangelization summit, that our parishes were looking for both direction and help and how to take some of what we've done with Rebuilt and Forming Intentional Disciples. How do we take that to the next step? And so what emerged from that, and then we began to collaborate with the priest ministry to priest's office, and then we took a proposal to the bishop that we do an evangelization summit and invite all of the parishes of the diocese to that experience. And we've just completed that experience about 3 weeks ago now, and it was really fantastic. We had more than half the parishes in the diocese joining in, bringing with them to this summit meeting a team of eight who were ready to begin self-reflecting, sharing, team building, and formulating the vision and mission that will be the foundation for evangelization in the future of their faith community.
So let me understand that we had a summit here at the diocesan campus for Christ Cathedral, and it brought together all the parishes that participated. We were talking earlier, more than half of the parishes were involved. So you had all these different groups, most of whom sent core volunteers, eight people, in order to build their group and be on the same page and to build some synergism from each other while they're here.
Exactly.
Okay.
And in fact, it's a three-part effort. Katie can talk more about the difference between those three parts and the curriculum for them. But we began back in October with an initial meeting about evangelization, just the notion of it and what does it mean and why should we be doing it. And then we moved on to a more targeted session of in these recent days that was focused on the team building and that showcased a variety of programs that can be both supportive and helpful in the parish context.
So the idea is to take all these people, bring them up here, let them train and build community within themselves, and then send them back to their parishes so they're all on fire to try to motivate, move, and inspire people in the parish level to do evangelization. How did that go?
Well, we had a great response from the people who came. The evaluations are overwhelmingly positive, and
evaluations, and chocolate was given.
Yeah. That's right. Well, the data is overwhelmingly positive, very high marks from most of the parishes.
So that's hopeful.
And within a parish team, you know, there could be any variety of people, maybe people who have worked together for 15 and 20 years.
Yeah.
And what the summit challenged them to do is to talk about each other's gifts, to recognize or acknowledge personality types and styles, to talk about what I need in interaction in order to feel successful, and gave a foundation of comfort and collaboration that really gets them ready to work together.
Yeah, I think part of the point was to put this primary vision of evangelization, this is the fundamental purpose of the church. The church exists to evangelize. It doesn't, this task does not belong to one particular office or one particular team member. This is really the entire purpose of the parish, is to bring people into relationship with Christ and with his church in a variety of ways, through a variety of efforts, but everyone should be pulling in that direction. So that was the first piece in October, was this vision of evangelization, kind of reflecting on some of what the papal statements have been about evangelization and about new evangelization, examining some of the implications of the work that we had already examined in Sherry Waddell's Forming Intentional Disciples and in Rebelt, the need for new methods, new ardor. So we looked at some of those things. And then in January, we helped teams become more cohesive, to establish greater trust, to be able to manage conflict better, so that they can actually do the work together. So it's not one person or one committee. It's the entire parish staff, all the ministry leaders, everyone to understand the vision of evangelization as our mission.
So evangelization, then, the way you're working it, is really tied to all of the other mission aspects of the church. So, for example, if when you're working with the people who are doing homeless work, there's evangelization that should be a focus of that work. When you're working with people who are doing catechetical faith formation with children, there's evangelization that they need to be aware of and engage there. Is that what you're talking about?
I am, although I want to be clear that, so if we were working with the homeless, we would not necessarily be delivering a Bible and a message at the time.
We'll give you food, but first you have to say the creed.
No,
got it.
That would not be our inclination, but it would be to accompany that homeless person as Christ. Christ is present there, and to love that person. And to build a relationship with them as much as possible and bring them forward in their life and help them. So that would all be with an evangelizing perspective.
So these teams that you are sending back, what is their mission? What did you tell them they should be doing?
Well, their mission is to spread this vision to the entire parish and to bring the parish into this very purposeful direction towards evangelization. In some instances, they will be evangelizing their own to the vision of evangelization. They're going to have to propose, to offer, to remind the person in the pew that the reason that they come to church is to encounter Christ, and then the reason they are sent out is to carry Christ to the world.
And I think really the number one step that they need to embark upon is a reflective step. The summit probably overwhelmed them with a lot of information and new data about each other, about the reality in the world around us, and about the gospel. Well, now, how do you put those in a bowl and mix them up? Well, first you have to go back and talk about, are we together on this? Do we see things the same way? And does it fit with our faith community?
And when we come back, I want to finish up with where we go from here in evangelization. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today is Katie Dawson, Director of Parish Faith Formation, and Father Gerald Horan, who is in charge of just about everything that has to do with faith formation and catechetics and education. And we're talking today about evangelization. And we've been talking about not only the problems and the people that are involved in evangelization, which it turns out should be all of us, because that's one of the primary reasons why we come to church, is so that we can bring Christ to other people. But getting parishes sometimes to get on the dime or to get on with the program, to be inspired to bring the message of Christ to the people around us, can be hard to do. So you were bringing people together, teams of eight from the different parishes. They're going back to their parishes. What programs do you think, what activities, what things do you think are going to come from this effort?
So the final day of the summit, part three of the evangelization summit, was a showcase of evangelizing processes and small group curriculums that are intended to move people deeper in their faith. So, for example, we had multiple breakout sessions featuring different programs. Alpha, which is an excellent first step of proposing the gospel, a video series that is offered in the context of a dinner and a conversation, and that basically says, is there more to life than this? So it's a great starting point for parish, both in the new evangelization and then as parishioners become activated, as people become more conscious of their own mission for evangelization, it becomes a tool to reach out to the unchurched to actually evangelize the culture around them. And in parishes across the country, Alpha has been having amazing impact. So that's one program we featured. We also had a great presentation from Renew International on their most recent program, which is called Be My Witnesses. And then that leads to Arise Levantate, which is a subsequent program. So they presented that entire package, and a number of parishes are looking at that.
What are those about?
Well, Be My Witnesses is for the parish staff and key leaders to evaluate the parish experience. Where are the deficits that need to be addressed? So, for example...
So it's a parish analysis program.
Yes, and it helps the staff and leaders look at, what is our Sunday experience like? Are people welcome? Can they find the bathrooms? Is there good signage? Are our ushers welcoming? What are our homilies like? So there's a whole assessment piece in Be My Witnesses and a planning piece. And an experiential, what is called a kerygmatic, a proposal of the gospel to the parish staff for their own reflection. And then that leads to a second program called Arise Levantate, which is a small group study that is evangelizing.
So Arise Levantate then is more of an application of what they learned about what the needs are so that they can better address how to go about doing evangelization in their parish?
I would say that Be My Witnesses sets a context for small group study. It addresses some of the deficits, as I said, and then kind of sets the stage for what we would normally consider a small group study. So it's focused on the gospel.
And it's less of a cookie cutter process, you know, everybody's going to come out the same shape. I think it's more tailored to allow people to bring their own questions to the discussion and to work with their own challenges in faith as part of the process.
So if we're looking then at evangelization at the parish level, what we're doing right now is to bring these teams together and to help implement programs that both analyze how each parish is doing and then try to improve how each parish is fulfilling that part of their mission.
And for different demographic reasons or historical reasons or whatever, one parish might be very different from another. And that's why we showcased probably about 10?
Seven or eight seven, programs.
Yeah. But several programs, a full menu of opportunities. One of, in that showcase day, one of the pieces of it was a half-hour keynote with a man, the speaker, Bobby Vidal, was somebody who had worked in parish ministry in a parish in L.A., and he just talked about the journey of his parish and how they went from a kind of a disengaged institution to a community of discipleship. And so that set a tone and put an example out there. And then the work of these parish teams, and some of them were very strategic to make sure that they used their time well and that everybody went to different sessions so they could bring back their notes and compare. But it gave them a lot of opportunities and success stories so that they could look at those and say, now which one really fits here at St. Matthew's, you know?
So what we've been doing recently then on a diocesan level has been to bring people in from these parishes, help them both explore and then train and take it back to their parishes in ways that fit their parish so they can better bring the gospel of Christ to their community.
Yes, earlier in the conversation, we had talked about whether there needed to be one program for the whole diocese or whether the initiative at the diocesan level would be every parish needs to engage in evangelization. Here are some options. You figure out how. And we really chose the second as the better fit, realizing that, you know, as you go from the south of Orange County to the north, demographically, sociologically, and in every way, we've got a wide variety of people and experiences.
We do have very different flavors and encounters of Christ in our different ethnic and sociological demographics of our communities, some of which are going to receive certain things far differently than others, and where one program might work exceedingly well would be a turnoff to a whole other group of people. So the idea then is to give them a smorgasbord to choose from, and then they could take that back to their parish. The ones that seem to fit best, these eight will come back and try to engage and work to build this new programming, whichever one they've chosen.
Exactly. Kind of on a parallel but connected basis, we've also got a program, part of a national initiative for the Hispanic community, a Spanish-speaking Latino, called Encuentro, Encuentro 5. And so because even across the different ethnicities, there's going to be variety in understanding and religious experience and what do they really need to take their faith to the next level.
We live in Southern California. We have people from south of our border. We have people from across the ocean. We have people from across our country. We have so many different people that all meet here and they all are doing business here and they're all engaged in the community here and they're all asking similar questions about life but from different lenses. And so to have such a wonderful smorgasbord of opportunities to engage in evangelization sounds like a very good approach. I'm so glad to hear that that's what we're doing now at the Diocese of Orange.
It's exciting, and we're both excited about it.
It sounds like it's an exciting time, and it sounds like you've got some real good... What's the follow-up? How are you going to enhance or guide or give support to these teams that you've given some training to?
Yeah, and that is an ongoing conversation, something that we are constantly discussing. But At the summit, they received some options for follow-up programming that they could bring to their parish to help bring more parishioners into the vision. So our office is prepared to bring workshops that echo what they heard at the summit in their own parish context. Those workshops will also be offered at the Summer Institute in June and at the DMC, the Diocesan Ministry Celebration, in October. And they are workshops like how to become an evangelizing parish or how to walk with an individual in their journey of faith. So there's a number of workshops that are available, and we're in conversation with parish teams about bringing those workshops to parishes, and then they would be open to all parishioners.
In fact, tomorrow morning we've got kind of a little summit of our own. The director of the Ministry to Priests office, the Vicar General, and Katie and I are going to sit down, and we've titled our meeting Sustaining the Summit. And so we really want to begin to get strategic about next steps and how to keep the momentum in a forward direction.
So it sounds like the answer to the questions that I asked with the different scenarios, the person who's concerned about their older adult children going, needing to be tweaked a little bit back to the faith, and the scenario about the person who might be a millennial who is interested in looking again at their faith, the short answer to that one is, go to your parish, start going to Mass, and start getting involved.
And I certainly hope that's a positive experience. If it's not, seek beyond the parish the kind of networks and programming, particularly in that young adult category, that might be creating inter-parish links.
Father, I want to thank you so very much. Katie, thank you for being here. Father, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a brief word of prayer and a blessing for our listeners, I'm sure we'd all be appreciative.
Lord our God, help us to find energy and hope, light for our world in the in this wonderful mission of evangelization that you've given to us and to your people. We pray your blessing upon our listeners and upon all whose hearts have not been touched by your word. Keep us alive in our journey to the kingdom and help us to accompany one another with faith through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.